Golden State Media Concepts Sci-Fi Podcast. Together we dive into the world of sci-fi and science fiction. From episodes of Star Trek, Star Wars, to The Walking Dead, Resident Evil, all the hot new science fiction movies from the back doors of Marvel or DC. The Golden State Media Concepts Sci-Fi Podcast. You'll never look at science fiction the same way again.
Hello everybody, this is Jay, back for more sci-fi news and the GSMC Sci-Fi Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. So we got some really great stuff that I'm really excited to talk about this episode, so let's just hop right in. So, the first one is, I have a bit of a history with this character. I originally actually heard of this character, Shaun the Sheep, and I think it might have been his premiere of sorts, was in the Wallace and Gromit short film, A Close Shave. Now, I hadn't seen Shaun the Sheep since, but you know, I've seen all the Wallace and Gromit movies. I saw the first one, I've seen The Wrong Trousers, I've seen A Close Shave, and I even have seen A Matter of Loaf and Death, which to my knowledge was the last Wallace and Gromit actual film they did. They did a bunch of shorts called Crazy Contraptions, and Wallace and Gromit is really, really popular. And I knew this, and like I said, I consider myself a fan. I even saw the movie they did, Wallace and Gromit, The Curse of the Were-Rabbit, which I wasn't too impressed with when I was younger, but I watched it like a couple of years ago, and it was an entirely different film for me. I liked a lot more, I appreciated it a lot more, so it might have just been maybe like, you know, a maturity thing, maybe. Or maybe it just was what I expected, I don't know. But I'm a fan of Wallace and Gromit. I really am. But Shaun the Sheep, I hadn't really heard anything of personally. Now, I didn't know this until I saw the first movie, which was Shaun the Sheep the movie, which I greatly enjoyed, by the way. I really loved it. I thought it was a great film. I had a blast watching it, a lot of fun watching it. I actually got to see it in theaters, and I really enjoyed it. But I didn't find out till later that there's a Shaun the Sheep show. There's been a Shaun the Sheep show until I got a, I found a DVD of, which was We Wish You a Merry Christmas and has a bunch of holiday specials on there, episodes on there, I mean. Until then, I had no clue that Shaun the Sheep had not only gotten his own show, but been so big. It's like fourth and fifth season now. It's really, really big in parts of the world. And so I was really blown away. I was like, oh my God, I didn't know that like this had happened in the last number of years. I completely missed all of this. I missed that, hey, Shaun the Sheep is still around. He's kind of broken away from Wallace and Gromit, has his own show. And from what I've seen of it, because I've seen the third and fourth season and part of the newest season, I personally really enjoy it. There isn't really much dialogue in it. But it's where Shaun is on this farm with, like, you know, he has, like, a dog friend who kind of, like, you know, is the sheep herder. He has, you know, his owner, his master. And just a lot of hijinks, you know, different hijinks occur each episode on this farm, you know, just the way it goes. It's a really great series. I really enjoy it. The episodes are usually only about a couple minutes long. They're not usually extremely drawn-out episodes. And like I said, my first, you know, experience with it was We Wish You a Merry Christmas, which is an absolutely amazing holiday episode. It is so good. It's so touching. It's so heartwarming. It's got some wonderful holiday messages there and introduced me to this world very, very well. It just really did. So, anyways, after all that wonderful history, I believe it got announced shortly after the Shaun the Sheep movie came out that it did pretty well, and they plan on doing a sequel, which I was like, good. I'm excited for that. It's a good idea to do that sequel, and I, you know, want to know more, and gosh darn it, I look forward to said sequel. Well, recently, this last, oh God, only the last week or so, we got our first teaser of the Shaun the Sheep movie 2, or Shaun the Sheep 2, the movie, where we learn the tag of said film, which is called Shaun the Sheep Farmageddon, is what it is called. And it's just a teaser, so it literally, like, you know, like most teasers I've said in the past, gives you a little glimpse of, hey, you know, the characters, the story, like, you know, what might be going on there. And in a weird way, it actually kind of reminds me of the first teaser for, I believe it was Minions 2. Despicable Me 2. It reminds me a lot of that teaser, a lot. And I'm sure it wasn't intentional. It's different companies. But it reminded me of that. I was like, huh. Because basically you see, like, you know, where they're on the farm, they're relaxing a little bit, and I think they're trying to play a prank on either the dog or the farmer. But then, like, it looks like Sean gets taken away by a UFO. That's what happens. So it's only about, like, a minute or so long. But definitely kind of like, again, like the Despicable Me 2 trailer, I'm like, man, I'm really pumped for this movie, and I really want to know more, because what was that all about? So this is by Nick Park, who also did a really good movie called Early Man, which I really, really loved. I thought it was a wonderful film. It actually has Tom Hiddleston in it and Eddie Redmayne and, I want to say Maisie Williams, who is Arya on Game of Thrones. I always get her name wrong. I'm sorry if I got it wrong here, but yeah, his animation style, it's all stop motion, but it's just an amazing style. He tells some amazing stories. And yeah, like, again, if you haven't seen Early Man, I recommend that film. It's a really fun, really clever story. And most of Nick Park's films have been really, really good. I think he might have had a part in Chicken Run, which I will admit I want to say I've seen that film, but it doesn't stick with me as much as some of his other films have. But mind you, that film did come out a while ago. It's fair enough. But yeah, this is a really good teaser, a really fun teaser. And personally, I really want to know more. This is like one of those teasers I'm like, man, that is really a good teaser, and I really want to see more. I want to know more. What is that all about? What happened? Did Sean actually get abducted, or is it something else? I mean, what's going on there? I mean, I really want to know. You know, and if you've ever had a chance to watch the show, which I want to say you can find it online. I don't know if BBC is in charge of it or who actually has the rights to it. I honestly don't know that. I feel like I should know that, but I don't for whatever reason. But what I do know is that, yeah, you can check the show out. Like I said, the first four seasons are on DVD, and it's like season 1 and 2 and season 3 and 4. We Wish You a Merry Christmas is a separate one, but you can totally check that one out. And I think there's another one out called, like, I want to say it's like Creature Comforts. That's not what it's called, but it's something along those lines. So you can find all those in stores and online. And yeah, if you like Wallace and Gromit, I would say give this show a chance. But no, it's not Wallace and Gromit. It's different. It's its own thing. It has its own kind of environment and characters and stories. And yet at the same time, it's a fun film. It's a good show. I mean, it's a really good show. It just is. They do a great job with it. And it's got a lot of, like, you know, simple but really likable characters. And it's got a few, you know, kind of annoying ones too. But mostly it's just, like, you know, life on a farm and all the crazy stuff that can happen. So, yeah, I would highly recommend checking it out. I've really fallen in love with it. I really like it. And I'm pumped for this movie, because I remember when I saw it, I was like, Shaun the Sheep, what even is that? I'm like, well, I don't know what that is. And I don't think it even clicked at the time that, oh yeah, it's the Shaun the Sheep from Wallace and Gromit: A Close Shave. I don't think it clicked in my head at the time. But so I really went into the movie blind, like just going, oh, okay, it's stop motion animation, Shaun the Sheep. Okay, I'm a fan of animation. I guess I'll check it out. And you know, it definitely surprised me in many, many ways. It's a good film for kids. There's some characters in that kids will really enjoy. And yeah, I would recommend, if you haven't checked out this teaser yet, it is on YouTube. Like I said, it's not a really long teaser, but it gives you a bit of a taste and a bit of a feel of, you know, this film. And I would highly recommend checking it out. I really would. I think it's going to be a good, fun film and a great sequel. I do mean that. So, yeah, that's all I have to say about that. What would it look like if we all listened more? Listening to audiobooks motivates us, inspires us, can even bring us closer together. There's no better place to listen than Audible, because now Audible members get even more. Exclusive audio fitness programs, audiobooks, Audible originals, and more. Audible has the largest selection of audiobooks on the planet, and now, with Audible Originals, the selection has gotten even more custom with content made just for members. So, if you're a fan of the Harry Potter books like I am, and I've talked on them on here before, they do have on there Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. It's an amazing story. It's the like one of the last chapters in the series, but a lot happens in there that kind of sets up, you know, the finale. There's some secrets revealed. There's a lot more questions and answers toward the end. But, yeah, it's an amazing book. It's one of my favorite Harry Potter books, I think. And you get a chance to listen to it on there. And I just highly recommend it. It's an amazing, really well done, really wonderful story. So every month, Audible members get one credit good for any audiobook they choose, plus two Audible originals from a changing selection that they can't get anywhere else. They also get access to audio fitness and health workouts created exclusively for Audible. Plus, your books are yours to keep. With Audible, you can go back and re-listen anytime, even if you one day do happen to cancel your membership. Didn't like your audiobook? Exchange it. No questions asked. So, you can start a 30-day trial and your first audiobook is free. Go to audible.com/GSMCSciFi or text GSMCSciFi to 500-500. You can do it with audiobooks.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Brought to you by Washington Target Zero.
Hello, everybody. This is Jay, back for more sci-fi news. So this next thing I'm going to talk about is I've known about this. Well, at least I'd heard they were going to do this for a while now. But it was just not much was known about it. Like, I think Marvel had said, hey, we want to do a like animated Spider-Man film where Miles Morales is the main character, which in one of the Spider-Verses, which, you know, as you find out as I talk about this film, there are many. Miles Morales becomes Spider-Man with all the spider powers and all that stuff, and some newer spider powers too, right? And I've seen a little bit about Miles Morales in the newest Spider-Man cartoon, Marvel's Spider-Man on Disney XD. So he has shown up on there as kind of like, you know, a helper to Spider-Man. He kind of is, you know, like an ally, like not necessarily a sidekick, just like someone will help him out if things get too intense, too out of control, like Venom shows up or things like that. So he's starting to become like a bigger, more well-known character. I think he's got some of his own comics now and things like that. So he's becoming a more well-known, more popular character. I personally don't know how long he's been around, but I know that he is starting to become a really big fan favorite. I know that for a fact. So it's kind of been like, I think that fans have been for like, hey, are we going to see him do something on his own or something like that? And I want to say when this got announced, people were really excited. I know I was really excited. And I'll admit this. When I saw the first trailers, wow. I was very, very excited. It's animated, but it's very colorful, very amazing animation. And you see a number of different spider, you know, people come together. You know, you see Spider-Gwen. You see another Spider-Man. You know, there's another Spider-Man from like another universe where everything is black and white. We get to see Spider-Ham. We get to see, like, I want to say Spider-Robot or Spider-Cyborg. I don't really remember his name, but something along those lines. And all these spiders get brought together, you know, because this super collider, like, you know, pulls them all together. And It's actually, so let me just jump right into this. So I have seen, I think, every Spider-Man movie that has ever come out since the first one with Tobey Maguire. So I've seen them all. I saw Spider-Man 1, which I really, really enjoyed. I saw Spider-Man 2, which I thought was good. I saw Spider-Man 3, which was a horrible train wreck of a film. It just was. So many things were wrong with it. I won't even get into them all, but let's just say it was a really, you know, train wreck of a film. It just was. Then, you know, we had it kind of revamped of sorts with Andrew Garfield in Amazing Spider-Man, which, again, I'm like, hey, you know, good film, bravo, you did a good job, you know, we got to see the lizard, you know, which we hadn't really seen before, and that was really cool how that worked. The webbing was canisters instead of coming out of the wrist, which made sense, but who knows, maybe with all the different Spider-Verses, maybe it made sense. I don't know, it didn't to me, but maybe it did. And then we got Amazing Spider-Man 2, which, you know, for me, it was like head shaking. It's like, God, why? Why again? Why did you make the same mistakes you made with Spider-Man 3? You put too many villains in it. You're planning way too far ahead to where it's obvious. And it just was a really weak, not as strong, disappointing story. It was basically what Amazing Spider-Man 2 was. So we got that. And then, you know, for a while, it's like, okay, no more Spider-Man movies. No mas. We've done enough. And then, of course, though, in Captain America: Civil War, we get a Spider-Man again. And this time it's Tom Holland who is Spider-Man. So he gets introduced there. So, you know, he was a very good Spider-Man, did a very good job as Spider-Man, and kind of had almost like, you know, Tony Stark kind of take him under his wing, you know, which was kind of a cool little mentorship type thing to see, which was kind of nice. And then we got Spider-Man Homecoming, which this time, it was a good, I think it was a very good Spider-Man film. I don't know if I could say it's the best. That's kind of hard to say. But it was good. You know, they actually left out the origin this time, which kind of made sense because we've seen the origin a couple times in a couple different ways. You know, we've seen that. So it's like we don't really need to see it again. So fast forward to like a few years after that, maybe only a year or two after that, if I'm being perfectly honest. And we get Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. And it turns out the main villain of this film is Kingpin. And Kingpin is actually the one who is trying to create this collider because he wants something that he can only get through it, right? I'm not going to spoil it too much there, but it's pretty interesting. They do a great job with how Kingpin looks, how Kingpin sounds, and he actually kills the Spider-Man in Miles Morales' universe, right? That's what happens. And, of course, he gets bit by the radioactive spider and, you know, gets the spider powers. And Peter Parker from another universe, you know, comes to, like, ends up in his universe, as we see the others will eventually, to kind of be his mentor. Be like, let me teach you to be Spider-Man, because you probably don't know how to. You just became it. That's okay. That's fine. So it's really kind of an origin story for Miles Morales' Spider-Man. Like I said, we get Spider-Gwen, which is really cool, as, you know, this story moves along. We see Spider-Ham. We see, like I said, there's like a noir Spider-Man. I mean, that's not what it's really called, but it's basically what it is. It's a black and white Spider-Man voiced by Nicolas Cage, who he does an absolutely wonderful job. We get, like I said, it's either Robot Spider-Man or Spider-Robot or Cyborg Spider-Man, something like that, from the future. And we get to see like little blips of all their origin stories and Spider-Ham, which we get to see, you know, their origin story. So we get little blips, but it's not like gargantuan chunks of the film for their origins. It's like little blurbs that are funny and make sense. And it's kind of cool to see how they go. And some are more comedic than others, but we get to see how all of them became the spider person they are, right? That's what we get to see, which was really cool because I'm not familiar with all these spider people. I'm just not. I know of Spider-Man. I'm starting to know, you know, Miles Morales, Spider-Man. I know a little bit about Spider-Gwen, but that's a keyword, only a little bit, you know. So I hadn't even heard of the other spider people before this film. And I have to say, this film actually really blew me away. This is probably one of the best Spider-Man films they've ever done, at least in a long time, you know, because it's just like it's like they found a way to bring all these different spider people together and into a story that works and makes sense. And like I said, Kingpin is an amazingly good villain. He's been a great villain for Daredevil, and he was an amazing villain for this show. The cast is very talented and wonderful. There's some really interesting twists and turns and surprises as the story goes along. It really, like, you know, is like kind of almost like a changing moment for some of the different spider people in this film, because they've gone through their own difficulties and hardships. So Miles kind of helps them through those as the story moves along. And yeah, the animation is wonderful. I mean, there were some times where, like, in like the side of my, like in side views, looked a little like kind of blurry, but that was few and far between. But man, this story, that was just, it's full of action. It's full of suspense. It's full of drama. It's just like the special effects and the animation is just absolutely wonderful. And God, it was just an amazing, amazing film. It really was. I just left, like, because I had my, this is one of those ones, like, you know what? I know it's going to be good, but I didn't expect to leave going, oh my God, that was so good. That was so much fun. You didn't even really have to be a Spider-Man or Spider-Person fan to enjoy this film, because I saw it with some people who were not. They're not, like, you know, the fans on my level, or, like, you know, the hardcore fans which are even beyond my level. They're not. But you could leave going, man, that was just such a... They did an amazing job with this movie. They really, really did. It's just so, so good. It's so much fun. It really is. Of course, there's a, you know, voice cameo this time of Stan Lee in this. It's just... It's a really good cameo. It's a really fun cameo. But again, it hurts the heart, my heart, a little bit. Because I'm like, oh, Stan Lee, you wonderful legend. You living legend, you know. You are missed. You really are. But... You know, and he always had, I believe I've heard many times, he had a very, you know, like Spider-Man was that one of those characters was as near and dear to his heart. It really was. You know, he made it his own. He changed it. And I think it was one of his favorite characters, I think. So you can definitely see that in this story. I don't know how much Stanley got to put in this, but I want to say he probably put in as much as he could. I want to say that. But yeah, man, this was like one of the best Spider-Man movies I've seen in a long time. One of the best. It just was, because I think it just, it wasn't expected what was going to happen per se, or how it was going to go necessarily. But yeah, we get to see a new Spider-Person emerge, you know, and I really, personally, I want to see more of Miles Morales as Spider-Man now. I really do, because... You know, even though he's like, you know, Spider-Man's Spider people of the past, where it's like, you know, the past where it's like, hey, you know, yeah, he's a little new to the powers, a little iffy and not sure how to control him. But he's in a situation where he kind of has to get the hang out of them, like, you know, quickly. It's kind of the way it has to go. And in this universe, like I said, he doesn't have Tony Stark to help him. So, but he gets lucky. He does kind of like, you know, find someone to help him. And yeah, this was just such a fun movie from start to finish. It really, really was. I mean, it had comedy, it had action, it had drama, it had suspense, it had mystery, it had surprises, it had twists and turns. It had just all of it. It really was. Like, you know, this was... I personally think this might be the better direction to go with Spider-Man in the future and Spider-People in the future than just doing live action. That's just my opinion, you know? Because it really was. It was just an amazingly fun ride from start to finish. It really was. It was just so, so good. I really, really liked it. Of course, it's in theaters now. And I heard whispers that there may already be a sequel planned and there may be another spinoff of that. But that's just whispers. I haven't heard, you know, like set in stone. But with how good this movie was and how... I have a feeling it's going to do really well. I wouldn't be surprised if that was true. So, yeah, check this movie out, whether you're a fan of Spider-Man or Spider-People or not. And I think you'll really, really enjoy it. I really do. So what would it look like if we all listened more? You know, listening to audiobooks motivates us, inspires us, and can even bring us closer together. There's no better place to listen than Audible, because now Audible members get even more. Exclusive audio fitness programs, audio books, Audible originals, and more. Audible has the largest selection of audiobooks on the planet right now. And now, with Audible originals, the selection has gotten even more custom with content made for members. So, another book that's on here that is really cool, again, I haven't read this series, but I've seen all the films, is The Hunger Games Mockingjay. So this is on there. It's narrated by the same person as Hunger Games, the first one. You know, it's a wonderful end to the trilogy. you know, into the series, into the stories. And yeah, you can check it out in here. And I'd highly recommend it. You know, it's just an amazing story, amazing book, and it's a wonderful, fun way to listen to it. So every month, Audible members get one credit good for any audiobook they choose, plus two Audible originals from a changing selection that they can't get anywhere else. They also get access to audio fitness and health workouts created exclusively for Audible. Plus, your books are yours to keep. With Audible, you can go back and re-listen anytime, even if you happen to cancel your membership. Didn't like your audiobook? Exchange it. No questions asked. So start a 30-day trial, and your first audiobook is free. Go to audible.com/GSMCSciFi or text GSMCSciFi to 500-500. You can do it with audiobooks.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Brought to you by Washington Target Zero.
Hello, everybody. This is Jay back for some more sci-fi news. So, this last one, I originally heard about this show at WonderCon, a number of years ago, like 2-3 years ago, something like that. And I hadn't watched like the previous, you know, versions of said cartoon. I want to say I might have tried to get into the 80s version a little bit, but I just never really got hugely into it. Is Voltron Legendary Defender is what I'm talking about, the new one. And I've been lucky to, you know, watch this show pretty much from the beginning. I've gotten to cover it many different times. I've interviewed the cast a couple of different times. I interviewed the voice of Lotor, which was really, really cool. And, you know, it's a show made by fans. You know, the creators, the directors, the writers, the cast, they're all fans of Voltron. They want to do Voltron justice, you know? And this show has had a pretty good run. They made a few odd choices. Like, a few of the seasons were like 6 and 7 episodes, which they started doing around either the 2nd or 3rd season. And it was kind of weird when they did it that way, because you're like, well, okay. It would kind of like be like weird cliffhanger, and okay, now you get to wait however many months until the next season. You're like, well, okay, why? But that being said, I've enjoyed this show for the most part. I really have. The characters are really good. The team changed a few times in a way that was fluid and made sense, and sometimes was just necessary. They've gone through a lot, you know, they've gone against the Golra and Zarkon and, you know, and Lotor and, you know, Witch Haggard, and there was just like a lot has happened, you know, good and bad in the time of this series. It just has. But I want to say it like the last season, which went back to a 13 episode, you know, season was really one of the best seasons, I think, for this show. It just really was. You know, we found out they had had a battle with Lotor in this quintessence field, and they found out they'd been there much longer than they thought they had, and they had built like this, they started building this Voltron coalition and, like, you know, a force to go against, you know, the Golra and take them down once and for all. And they were in this field for like 3 years, and it turns out, you know, hey, the coalition had kind of fallen apart, but so had the Golra Empire, because at this point, Zarkon was gone, Lotor was supposed to be the new emperor, and it was believed Lotor was dead. So, kind of both sides of this war had suffered, you know, from this incident that happened, right? It's just what happened. And so, you know, and then, of course, last season, you know, the Golra comes to invade Earth. So, that whole season is, you know, trying to, you know, save Earth, which has been, wasn't really prepared for the Galra, and, you know, kind of like, you know, gets beaten pretty good by the Galra. But with Voltron coming back, you know, that whole 13 episode season, it's about, you know, saving a lot of the, like, you know, paladins, saving their home, you know, before it's too late. And it was, I think, one of the best seasons in a long time for this show. So, all that being said, you know, we got announced that there's going to be another season of this show, and sadly, it is the last. It's the last season, season 8, for Voltron Legendary Defender. I've watched the trailers, I've gotten, you know, learn a little bit about it here and there, and I was able to watch it. I was able to watch this whole season recently. I watched it in a, I binged through it in like a day, because I am a fan of this show. And, man, you know, this season was, it's a bittersweet season for me, let's put it that way. Because, you know what, like, we see a foe come back, Hunnerva, who, you know, at the end of, like, season 6, I think, we had seen her, you know, kind of like, you know, kind of make her appearance, like, Haggard, like, you know, goes to this, like, you know, this one place, Orient, and changes, pretty much. The place changes her, is what happens. And she's different, and, you know, her powers are different, and we didn't really see her for a season or two. So, like I said, last season they were busy trying to save Earth, so she comes back in this season, and she's probably one of the biggest threats the Paladins ever faced, because she, like, her plans are like, you know, I want to, like, you know, want something really, really bad, and I'm willing to shatter the universe into pieces to do it. And she's a very powerful foe. The Paladins and Team Voltron and the Coalition aren't really sure how to handle her at first. And some of their first battles against her go really, really poorly because of just how powerful she is. And she was the one who brings along this new kind of like roe beast that the Paladins have a very hard time taking down. And, you know, toward the end of the last season, we see the first one, and it does. It just, you know, it like they're already kind of beaten from, you know, saving Earth, and it comes out of left field. And yeah, so it's a definite difficult, you know, a foe for them to go against, and there's more of them this season. And for part of the season, they're trying to figure out, what in the world is Hunnerva even planning? What is she trying to do? What is her goal? What does she want to do? And how in the world can we stop her? You know, that's just where they're at. We see more Alatians this time. Yeah. Alatians. And, yeah, like, they've kind of, like, fallen prey to someone, like, you know, and so, and there's a lot that happens this season. So, for starters, we get to see Lance finally, like, you know, tells Allura how he feels. Finally. So they finally kind of start their relationship. But as the season progresses, you know, it's sadly, maybe it's not meant to be. Sadly, maybe the best way I can say that. And Hunnerva really does throw them for a loop and kind of like, you know, she's just hungry to, like, not just for revenge, but just for something that she really, really wants. And she's willing to do anything to get it. And when things don't go her way, they get real, real bad fast. They just do. She's got her own, you know, roe beast, and Voltron, like, you know, is just having a hard time trying to, you know, stop her once and for all. And so their mission is kind of coming to an end, is just kind of how it's going. But it's you know, it's also, like, one of their probably most difficult, you know, foes and threats the universe has ever faced in a long, long time. It's just the way it is. You know, it really is. There's a lot of really cool moments in this season. It's a 13-episode season, so and they're all about 20-minute episodes each, and just so much amazing things happen. You know, they really do. Team Voltron, you know, the Paladins, you know, go through so many difficulties and trials, but along the way it makes, like, them stronger, more powerful, and ready to take on, you know, the dangers that are coming next. And, yeah, that just, like, Hunnerva just, man, she takes them to some really crazy places. You know, she, like she does things where they're like, man, there's doubt. There's doubt many times. There just is, and it's understandable doubt. You're like, man, this is really, really insane. And can we even do this? Should we even do this? I mean, it's a really intense but just amazing, wonderful season. And I won't give away how it ends because it just went live on Friday. But I will say this. I was satisfied with the ending. I was a little bummed at the same time. I was like, man, I kind of wish this one thing hadn't happened, but I see why it happened. But at the same time, like, the ending, the finale is a really touching finale. It's a great finale. You know, I enjoyed it. I really did, you know. And I'm kind of torn. It's like, man, I love this show. I'd love to see more of this show. But it's one of those shows, too, that, like I said, it's had a good run. It really has. It's done a great job with this show. There's only been a few episodes I haven't enjoyed. There's even an episode this season that was kind of like a filler episode in a sense, but it was a good filler episode. I liked it. You know, they've had some filler episodes in the past that are just really crazy or just really silly or have nothing to do with what's going on. This filler episode, in a weird way, wasn't like that. I mean, it was kind of a nice, like, you know, hey, let's have a filler episode here. You know, it's just like have the Paladins and like the Coalition just kind of relax and take it easy and just have some fun. But at the same time, it also kind of like, you know, recharges their batteries after all the crazy stuff they go through this season. They go through so much. There's points you almost want to feel sorry for them, like, man, you guys are just getting just, like, you know, put through the ringer. You just really are. So if you have liked Voltron and Legendary Defender, I would highly recommend checking this season out. Like I said, it's kind of bittersweet, but I think they did a wonderful job how they brought it to an end. And I kind of look forward to seeing what will happen in the future. But I would say for now, this is good Voltron for now. I don't know if you could do better Voltron than this. I just don't know. So that's all we have for this episode. I've had a lot of fun bringing it all to you. I hope you guys had as much fun listening to it. But don't worry, we'll be back real soon with more sci-fi news.